Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today. It's an honor and a privilege for me and my family to be able to be with you again. Thank the Lord for the rain. Amen. It's been good to have it. You know, as the brother was singing that song, I was just reminded what the scripture said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I was thinking of what the scripture says in James, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, it truly makes a difference, our prayer, not only for ourselves, but for other people. I encourage you to, this is a little off topic, but I encourage you to look in John chapter 17, Jesus' prayer, as he's praying. He begins by praying for his disciples, and of course he prays for himself. And he prays for the future church as well toward the end of that chapter. But that's a beautiful kind of a compilation of the different things that our Lord Jesus prayed for his disciples, himself, and also for you and I as part of the future church. But if you would take your Bibles this morning and turn, we're going to look at two different passages this morning. First will be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and then we will also be in John chapter 14. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and then John chapter 14. We live in a world that does not give a lot of encouragement or hope, because we look around us and we see the sin, we see the suffering, we see the ungodliness everywhere in our society. And if we're not careful, we'll become disillusioned and discouraged and disappointed in life. But folks, we have to understand that and keep it in the forefront of our mind and in our heart, that we are not here permanently, are we? We have to keep in mind where we are going as God's people. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, he said, "Hope is laid up for you in heaven." So we look for and we long for this place called heaven, through everlasting life, through Jesus Christ. Now, that is a promise that we hold tightly to day by day, and we would do good to not forget that. It was D.L. Moody that said this. He said, "The thought of heaven has cheered the soul of many believers. Some say that we are fools to believe in heaven, but to deny heaven is to deny Jesus, for he came from heaven. It is to place our departed loved ones in the cold, dark grave. It is to deprive millions of Christians of the greatest hope they have. To deny heaven is equal to murder, for it kills hope. To thievery, for it robs joy. To slander, because it calls God a liar." You see, folks, the thought of there being a better place for us as God's people to live upon, to live after our time upon earth is finished, it brings joy and it brings hope to our hearts. And it has done so for thousands of years. Amen. We look throughout the scriptures and we can find even back to the time of Abraham. As Hebrews verse number 10 of chapter 11 says this, "For he looked," this is talking about Abraham, "for Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And of course, we know Abraham lived some 3,500 years ago, but yet he still longed for a place called heaven. Peter, he encouraged believers when he said this, that we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We know that John, the Apostle John, John the Beloved, the one that was one of Jesus' disciples, as he was led by the Spirit of God to write the book of Revelation that the Lord had gave to him on the Isle of Patmos. And as he received this, I encourage you to read the whole book, but these chapters specifically deal with the portal of heaven that we're able to have to be witness to as we read this. But in Revelation chapter 4, 5, 7, 21, and 22, all give us a picture or snapshot of the things that are going on in this place called heaven. We know that the Apostle Paul, in spite of his body withering away, he had hope and he clung to the promise of heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 18, if you would look at that for just a moment with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 18, notice what Paul wrote. He says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Folks, we have to realize that we're not home yet, are we? Yeah, this is just a testing ground for us, an opportunity for us to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and then live our lives for our personal Savior, the one that loved us and gave Himself for us. He goes on in chapter number 5, if you would look there. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," that means our life, our bodies, "we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us of the earnest of the Spirit. Wherefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." And notice what it says. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." For that's a longing that Paul had, and that's a longing that we share as God's children by faith. You know, everlasting life is just that, isn't it? It's everlasting. It's not in an insurance policy that goes out in 20 years or 25 years. No, it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's forever and ever and ever. And it's hard for us to get our finite minds around something that is infinite like that. The concept, we just can't gather and fathom it as of yet. But nonetheless, it does exist. Now, if you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. This is our text this morning that we're going to be looking at. What I gave you was basically a background, an introduction on heaven. But in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. And he makes this statement. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Let's pray this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the rain that you have blessed us with. Father, thank you for this awesome privilege that we have to come together corporately to worship your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for each person that's here this morning. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would guide and direct and move in and through this service. Lord, that our hearts would be in tune to you. Lord, allow our mind and our hearts and our eyes and our ears to be focused and attentive to what you have for us this morning. Lord, I pray this message would be an encouragement to each of us who are in Christ. Lord, we long for that hope of heaven, the promise that we have been given. And Father, help us to use these truths from your word to encourage us and to guide us and to motivate us in a closer walk with you. Father, Lord, we ask your blessing upon this time this morning in your word, in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. In our passage of scripture this morning, Jesus, he is reminding and really giving comfort to his disciples concerning this promise and this hope of heaven. So I wanted us this morning to be able to look at this place called heaven in the verses that Jesus has given us. And the first thing I wanted to point out is heaven is a physical place. Heaven is a literal physical place. Heaven is not a state of mind. Heaven is not here upon this earth. Although, tomato sandwiches, fried squash, and corn on the cob are the closest thing that you can get to heaven upon this earth. I heard a lady say one time, she was talking about a certain kind of pie. I can't remember what it was, but she says, that's just a slice of heaven. And although we would like to think it is, nothing comes close to heaven, does it? It's in a class completely by itself. It's not found in anything physical. It's not found in anything emotional. But heaven is a real physical place. And how do we know this? Because the Bible is the ultimate authority. Amen? The Bible is the ultimate authority in declaring the existence and the reality of this place called heaven. Heaven's mentioned some 691 times throughout the Word of God. Now, some of those are referring to the atmosphere called heaven. Some of those are referring to what Psalm 19 talks about. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That is the place where the planets are, and the stars, and the moon. And of course, then there's the third heaven that the Apostle Paul talked about. If you'll read that passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul gives us some insight into that. And many theologians, scholars, believe that when Paul was stoned and thrown outside of the city of cities of Lystra and Derbe, that he was dead. And that he literally saw the third heaven and went to the third heaven, which is the place where God dwells. And believers who have had faith in God and his Son, Jesus Christ. So there, these breakdowns of the different words that are used concerning heaven, it's interesting to see how they are applicable not only to the atmosphere, but also where our planetary system is, but also the place where our Lord dwells. And that's what we're looking at this morning, is this abode of Almighty God. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came from heaven. And we know that. He came upon this earth in the form of man, was born in a manger. He lived 33 and a half years, and then he went to Calvary and died for our sins. And shortly thereafter, after his resurrection and a period of time upon this earth, he ascended back into heaven. And the scripture tells us that he will come again to this earth. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, or snatched out as if by force, that word means, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we have that existence and reality of heaven that the Scripture plainly declares to us, and the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ himself came from heaven and has ascended back to heaven and will come again from heaven for the saints of God. Through the resurrection, through the rapture. So Jesus comforted his disciples of this reality of this place called heaven. He said in John chapter 10, he says, "Rejoice are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven." And folks, that brings joy to our... Listen, folks, even though we are alive and well upon the face of this earth, every born-again believer is already a citizen of heaven. Did you know that? We're already citizens of heaven. Our reservation has already been made. You know, my family and I are going to the beach. Well, I shouldn't say the beach because that means you're having fun. As a minister, you always say, we're going to the coast. So when we go, we make a reservation. We made a reservation or something like that to make sure to ensure that we had a place. So when we arrive, our reservation is already there. But the scripture tells us, he said, our conversation, and that word literally means in the Greek, it means citizenship. So our citizenship is in heaven, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are already citizens of heaven when we accepted God's precious gift of Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're here now. We're occupying till He comes for us, or till we go to Him through death. He has left us here for a purpose. He has left us here for a reason. And those reasons and purposes are many. One of those is to share the good news with other people. Another thing is for us to be able to grow and be conformed and transformed in the renewing of our mind, that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, folks, no matter where I go in this world, my U.S. citizenship is acknowledged. I can go from here to the other side of the world, from pole to pole, and I am still a U.S. citizen. The same thing, spiritually speaking. And no matter where I go, no matter what happens to me, I am a child of the King. My name is written in heaven, just as Jesus told him, or told his disciples theirs was. So folks, heaven is a real place. But just as heaven is a real place, we have to understand, folks, there is a reality of hell as well. Heaven is a place of glory and splendor and peace. And hell is a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not. We know also that, number two, heaven is a prepared place. Heaven is a prepared place. Notice what the scripture says in verse number two of our passage. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." So it is a prepared place. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Amen? Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Listen, nobody's going to accidentally stumble into heaven and wonder how in the world they got there. They're going to get to heaven because they've made preparations this side of eternity. I'd mentioned that we're going on a trip. We like to get away for a few days every year. And we have to make some preparations for our trip. You know, we make sure somebody's available to come and to feed our dogs. We stop our mail. We sometimes will stop the garbage service or have somebody to take care of that. We make sure we turn off the water when we go away from the home, because we don't want to come home with an indoor swimming pool. We pack. We make sure that we pack what we need and even the stuff that we don't need. Lots of it, as much as the car can hold. And then we do something that is very important as we head out of the driveway. Of course, we pray before we leave. But then we set our GPS.
We set our GPS so that we'll know how to get to where we're going. You remember the old maps that you used to have that were like this big and you had to try to fold up, but after a while they wound up being just wadded up. You just shoved them in the side of the door because they were so frustrating. Well, now we just have our little telephones that tell us how to get from point A to point B. But those are some things that we may do in preparation for going somewhere. How much more should we make preparations this side of eternity for what happens after this side of eternity? If you'll look at our passage of Scripture, notice in verse number 5 what Thomas says to Jesus. Thomas saith unto Jesus, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Notice what Jesus said. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, folks. Jesus is the roadmap to heaven. Amen? If he tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to God except through him, we have to trust that. We have to believe what he tells us. Listen, folks, we enter by Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, or we don't enter at all. Now, some people may say, well, that's a narrow-minded way, but understand, we're not the one that made the way to start with. God's the one who decided the way that it would be possible for man to enter into heaven, and he chose his son, Jesus Christ, as that way, that truth, and that life. And thank God that he did, amen. Because without that, we would be hopeless and helpless. The third thing that we see in this passage is the fact that heaven is a preeminent place. Heaven is a preeminent place. That word preeminent means surpassing all others. Surpassing all others. Notice what our scripture says. It says, my Father's house. Jesus is making reference to this place called heaven as my Father's house. And please note that anywhere that's the Father's house has got to be a good place. Amen? It's the place that we as God's children would want to be, would want to reside. It's a holy place. It's filled with his presence. It's filled with his glory. It's a place of peace. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of joy, and it's certainly a place of love because God is love. Amen. It's a place that we desire to go because our Heavenly Father abides there. I lost my dad back in 2007. He had Alzheimer's, and he got pneumonia. He got to the point where he couldn't remember how to swallow. And, of course, he got the aspiration of the food in his lungs, and he developed pneumonia. And shortly thereafter, he passed away. And I look forward so much to seeing my daddy one of these days. I do. Because I love my daddy more than anything. But I look forward to seeing my Savior too. To look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Because of him, all other things are possible. Amen. Because of Jesus Christ, all other things are possible. My daddy's there because of him. And I'll be there because of my daddy. Because he's the one that shared Jesus with me. And so I'm eternally grateful for not only my Father, but for my everlasting Heavenly Father too, who has done so much for me as his child by faith. But folks, when we think about this place called heaven, it brings joy to our hearts. It makes us want to go there because we know that it is our eternal abode. It's where we'll spend eternity in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know, as I mentioned earlier, that Paul got that glimpse of the third heaven in Scripture. And he realized that the life that he had did not compare to what heaven offered. In Philippians chapter 1, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we know that Paul, he yearned and he longed for this place called heaven. He made this statement in verse number 23. He says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ," which is what? Far better. To depart and to be with Christ is far better. And that's not a fatalist attitude or somebody that's wanting to commit suicide. That's comparing and contrasting the difference between what this world has to offer and what the Lord has to eventually offer the child of God. The prize that is set before us, heaven. And what's going to make heaven wonderful? Jesus is. It's going to be in His presence for all of eternity. And I encourage you to read what Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 give us around the throne, the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Isaiah chapter 6, I encourage you to read that at the beginning when Isaiah, with his commission into the ministry, he has this picture or vision of the throne room of heaven. And literally the place is shaking and trembling at the presence of God. And the voices that are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." Folks, it's incredible. And we will be able to experience this as God's children. All because of Jesus. All because of what He did for our sakes. We know heaven's going to be, because it is a preeminent place, it's going to be a splendid place. Notice what the scripture says. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. Many mansions. These mansions are dwelling places. They're abodes, according to the scripture in the translation there. But understand this, folks. Nothing this side of eternity is going to be able to compare to the mansions that our Lord has created there. Even the smallest is going to be better than 10,000 times over than what we potentially could possess here upon this earth. If you'll read in the scriptures in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, it gives a description of that holy city that comes down out of heaven and is suspended above the earth. The New Jerusalem, the pearly white city, which will be our final abode, our final resting place. But I encourage you to spend some time reading those chapters that give us insight and give us such a blessing in this snapshot that we have in Scripture of what heaven is like. So it's going to be a splendid place, folks. It's going to be a safe place. It's going to be a safe place. And folks, we're reminded that the fact that heaven is going to be a place of peace for God's people. Amen. It's going to be a place where none of the afflictions of earth that we're plagued with are going to be able to touch us in the glory and splendor of heaven. Revelation 21 verse 4 says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That means, folks, when we get to heaven, there'll be no more dying, there'll be no more cancer or Alzheimer's or anything like that. And there'll be no more weeping and there'll be no more hurting. Because God's going to take all that away. Because heaven is just that. It's heaven. It's heaven to us now, but I tell you, one of these days it's going to be home. Amen? Amen. Because that's where we'll be for all of eternity. We know that heaven is also a promised place. If you'll look at these three verses, there's a promise in each one of them. There's that promise of rest. Jesus told His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay." And heaven's going to be that place that's free of the troubles and the burdens that we carry in this life. Because, folks, we know if you're a child of God and you're serving the Lord, you know that serving God's not easy, is it? Serving God is difficult. Sometimes it's exhausting. Sometimes it's unappreciated. Sometimes it's misunderstood. But we can rejoice in the fact that everything you have, everything that we do for the Lord, even though some things may not be seen or recognized or understood, folks, when we get to heaven, we understand, folks, that the Lord sees all things. And the Lord will make all things right. And the labor that we do on this in this side of eternity will be recognized and rewarded on the other side of eternity. But folks, one day our work on this earth will end. You know, Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So folks, God has left us here now to work for him, to labor for the Lord, to serve him. Because folks, there's coming a day when all those opportunities to share Christ, all those opportunities to serve the Lord and be his mouthpiece and his feet for him will pass away. Let us be about our Father's business as the Lord Jesus was until we reach that place of rest. Let us labor for him while we can. We also see that it's a place of rescue. He says, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a reference to what I was talking about earlier in 1 Thessalonians. We know the Lord is going to return, isn't he? He's going to resurrect those that are dead in Christ, and those that are alive and remain will be caught up in the rapture, as what we refer to as the rapture of the church. He's making reference to that. And folks, if I have an option to be able to go out through the rapture instead of the resurrection, I'll take that. Amen. We also see there's that promise of reunion. Notice what he says in the scriptures, that where I am, there you may be also. Eternally, forever, in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, our heart rejoices in that fact, of that permanent union. Jesus Christ lives in us for sure, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But folks, there's coming a day when we'll no longer walk by faith, will we? We'll live by sight. It's hard for us to get our minds around that now too, isn't it? See, we walk by faith, but then we'll live by sight because he will be in our presence. If you'll read in Revelation chapter 21, it says that there's coming a day when there'll never be any more need of the sun and the moon, because the sun is the light thereof. He literally illuminates the city. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus pulled back himself and revealed to Peter, James, and John truly who he was. And the Shekinah glory of God literally shone upon that mountain, and it was bright. Because the true nature of who God was come bursting forth, so these disciples could be able to see that, and they would be encouraged, and they would know without a shadow of a doubt that he was God. There was no question from that point on. And our Lord's going to indwell that city, and he's going to be the light thereof. Praise God for that. Heaven's going to be a place, too, that is very, very populated. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven. There's going to be people there that we never thought would make it. But sadly, there's not going to be people there that we thought for sure they would be there. That's why our faith has to be in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. Not in our good works, not in our baptism, not in our church membership, but in the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the one that died for us and gave himself for us. Heaven is heaven. We long for it. We look for it. Paul wrote about it extensively throughout the scriptures. John wrote about it. It is a real place. And folks, I hope you long for it this morning. I hope that's your desire, that while you are still here upon the earth, knowing what lies ahead, knowing the reward that we have, knowing eternal life that is ours, while we are here, we will serve the Lord and serve Him well. Because the night comes when no man can work. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you something. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Folks, if you don't, I encourage you to come to this altar or where you're at this morning. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you. To come into your heart, to make Him your Lord and your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here this morning, folks, and you are saved. Won't you praise God this morning? Praise God for this place called heaven. Praise God for the place that is secured. The rear reservation has already been made there. And when your time is up here, you know that that is your eternal dwelling place. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Precious Heavenly Father, we rejoice in Your Son Jesus, who has made all things possible for us as His children by faith. Father, thank You for this place called heaven that You tell about us in Your Word. This place that is secure for us as children by faith. Everlasting life through Your Son Jesus Christ. Thank You so much. Father, it brings blessing and joy to our hearts and to our lives, knowing that we have a Savior who has given us a tremendous promise. I go to prepare a place for You. And if I go to prepare a place for You, I will come again to receive You unto myself, that where I am, there You may be also. Father, thank You for Your goodness and Your love and Your mercy. Thank You for the privilege that we have that is ours to serve You. Lord, we love You and we ask these things in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.